When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside and sat on the judge's bench at a place called the stone pavement, or in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover, and it was about noon. He said to the Jews, "Here is your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate then asked them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priest answered, "We have no king but the emperor." Then he handed him over to them to be crucified. This is the word of the Lord. A little bit difficult to say thanks be to God right there. It's a tough, tough passage. I don't know if you noticed, but Jesus essentially says nothing in the entire passage. This is all people talking about Jesus. And it's not that he's not there. He's very much there. But if you've ever been in the room and had people talking about you, you may know what this experience was like. Now, we've got a handful of characters. We have Pilate, right? Significant figure. We have the chief priests. We have the crowd. We have Jesus, not insignificant figure in this narrative. We have the soldiers who start this off, right? And they started off with Jesus in a purple robe and a crown of thorns, smacking him around, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." It's exactly how we would treat the king, right? If Jeff was here, he would know that the arrangements are starting to be made for another royal wedding, because that's Jeff's thing. You guys know that. And they're giving out 2,600 invitations to common people to show up at the wedding. That'd be us. We're common people. Do you think these soldiers think that royal wedding and that queen and that prince are slightly more significant than the one they're dealing with in the narrative? Right? The king of the Jews, this is not "Hail Caesar." This is mockery. This is mockery. And then there's Pilate, who goes to the chief priest. He's still not really sure what he's supposed to do with Jesus. I know the feeling. And he goes to the chief priest and says he's not guilty of anything. One of the other gospels, we hear Pilate's wife say, "Have nothing to do with that innocent man." But the chief priests and the scribes aren't going to let that fly. So they say, "He says he's the Son of God, and we have a rule about that." And that upsets Pilate, and Pilate goes back in and, "Are you the Son of God? Were you?" And you almost hear Pilate say to Jesus, "Don't you know who I am? I'm the one with power over life and death," Pilate essentially says. "Don't you know I'm the one who can save your life or cause you to be crucified?" Irony, anybody? Pilate really, really, really doesn't know what to do with Jesus. He takes him back out and he says, "Are you sure you want me to crucify your king?" And the chief priests, I mean, they say, "We have no king but Caesar." And this is one of those parts of the story where you have to know the story to understand the story. because for the longest time, the people didn't need a king because they had God. All through the period of the judges, they didn't need a king. They had God. All through the Exodus, they didn't need a king. They had God. And then they decided they wanted a king just like everybody else had. And, well, they got one just like everybody else had. And then another one just like everybody else had. And another one like everybody else had. And politicians were as well respected then as they are now. So here, with the weight of 2,000 years of history, here with the weight that in 40 years, Jewish patriots are going to stand on top of Masada and commit suicide rather than be conquered by Rome, that the chief priests and the scribes say, "We have no king but the emperor." Hear the people selling out. We asked you guys how you would describe Jesus. And there's a weight to when Tom says a good man that sounds an awful lot like Pilate's wife saying an innocent man. Because it's said here, and it's said in the context of worship. If we were out at Panera and I wryly said, "Oh yeah, he's a good guy," there might be a little more fluctuation in the meaning, right? And that's what I think is really powerful about this passage, is that this is essentially the conversation at Panera outside of church about Jesus. He says he's the king of the Jews. Crazy man. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Right? He says he's the Son of God. And then I said he's off his meds. Right? Conversation you might overhear at Panera. How is it that we talk about Jesus outside these walls? Liturgically doing it is one thing. I can get you to answer questions because I have three cute kids trailing me with a microphone. If we wanted to do that at the library, the driver's license office, Kroger, Walmart, Aldi's, how comfortable would you be with that? Because this passage is about what happens when faith gets out into the real world and things get messy. Very, very messy. Because the chief priests and the scribes, the people who should know better, the people who memorize psalms like the one we read for our call to worship say, "We have no king but Caesar." And if you think this is something that only happened in 33 BC, you're deluding yourselves. Because the power of the world, that temporal power stuff we talk about, whether it's the guy with the flashing blue and red lights on the car that's got you pulled over, you guys know about them, right? They don't answer well to, "Do you know who I am?" either. Pilate thinks he's in charge, doesn't he? Pilate thinks he's really in charge. I mean, he is Jesus there, and he is naive enough, crazy enough, delusional enough. I mean, pick an adjective you want to use, out of touch enough to say to Jesus, I have the power over your life and your death. I mean, if we're sitting there, I'd like to think we're going, dude, Pilate, you don't have a clue, do you? Except we try to hold Jesus over that barrel too sometimes, don't we? Hey, Jesus, if you do this for me, I'll do that. Ever done that? Ever bartered with the Lord? How well did that work out for you? When we talk about Jesus, one of our huge challenges is to be the people who know this much of the story and not just this much. Okay, so it's not just about Easter. It's not just about the stone is rolled away and everything's awesome. The stone is about God picking a people, and sticking with that people and eventually saying, this people isn't enough, I need all the people. And those people having once said, all we need is God. And those people become the people who say, we have no king but Caesar. The story's this big. It's probably bigger than this. And we do like this much. Who is Jesus? It's a huge question, right? It is also really the only question that matters. It is the only question that matters. And how you answer it should demark how you live your faith. So Tuesday nights, we've been doing the I am statements of Jesus. That's who Jesus says he is, and kind of watering it down so that we can sort of get it. Like, sort of get it. A little bit more than Pilate gets it, right? I am the bread of life. So, how many of you want to get through life without carbohydrates of any sort that's not tied to whatever the diet of the month is? Right? There's a reason we talk about the bread of life. It's required. It's calories, and it fills you up. It looks different in different places. In Southeast Asia, it's rice. In Malawi, it's sima. Here, it's bread or potatoes, right? In the Southeast, it's grits, right? We've got these things, and they're required to make us feel full. Jesus is the bread of life. I am the light. Well, that one's scattered through the Bible. You should sort of know that one by now, right? God speaks and there is light and there is morning and there is evening the first day. And the light shines in the darkness and the darkness cannot overcome it. And the people who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. Anybody who gets in here any other way but through me, through the gate, through the door, is a liar and a thief and a bandit. The sheep know my voice. All right, animal people. It's only like all of you. How many of you know what your dogs or your cats or your horses sound like? How many of you can tell which one is coming if there's more than one? How many of you talk to your animals and expect that they understand?
They do.
Yeah, but... Right? I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and they know me. They know the sound of my voice. It's a big deal. We've done three of the ones we've done there. What about I am the vine? That's weak. That's this week. I am the true vine. You are the branches cut off from me. You can do nothing. How many of you have ever tried to weed vines? How many of you have ever been successful at weeding vines? I am the way and the truth and the life. The church, the early church, was known as followers of the way. If you have ever broken a new path, okay, we get one of those fun snows that we get about every 5 years, and it's up to your knees, and you still need to take the dog out. Right? And the dog is back there, and you're out here. How much fun is it to break the path? How much easier is it to follow the way? The pioneer and perfecter of our faith, you may have heard that language. Christ goes first. Not in that sense of like, I'm 8 and Kevin's 10 and I want to go first and he wants to go first and we're going to fight about it and we're both going to get sent to our rooms, because we would do that. But Christ goes first. The answer to this question, how we talk about Jesus, is the most significant question we can ask and answer. I am the living water. Ever been thirsty? Ever been really thirsty? How good does even lukewarm water taste if you're really thirsty? How we answer the question, who is Jesus, is definitive and normative and essential in the conversation about faith. Kelly, what was your answer?
Loving.
Loving. That one's in the Bible. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Kevin. Light in the dark places. We've covered that one. Janice. Friend to all. Women, Samaritans, outcasts, lepers, tax collectors, betrayers, deniers, criminals on a cross. Tom's innocent man, a good man. Tom? Prince of Peace. That's in the Bible somewhere. Jocelyn? Savior. Savior. Bill? Comforter. That's in the Bible too. Imagine that. They're in this big story. They're in this big story. And the way we respond to a God who saves us, Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, we shouldn't say that the way that the soldiers say Jesus, King of the Jews, in this passage. How we talk about Jesus when he's in the room, even though he's not the focus of the attention, matters to our faith. It deeply, deeply matters because it sets the direction we go. Pilate has no clue, does he? And they say, "You're the Son of God." You say, "You're the Son of God." Where are you from? That's Pilate. The chief priests and the scribes say, he's not our king. What are the other names we hear around the time we hear Prince of Peace? Set to music. Come on, all you musicians know this stuff. Lord of Lords, King of Kings. It matters. The way we answer under pressure who Jesus is to us matters because it needs to come from here and here and here, because that's what's going to get us through. Having memorized it when we were six is nice, but having it live and dwell with us makes a difference. We have these 12 disciples who, let's be honest, they're kind of duds, right? I mean, in the Gospels, they're kind of duds. They don't get it. They're arguing about the wrong stuff. They're completely clueless some days. Okay, honestly, does that sound like anybody you know? So, 2,000 years later, we're still telling the story of their faith. Because at some point, living with Jesus transformed their lives. It turned Peter from a guy who couldn't say, "I'm with Jesus," in the courtyard at Pilate's house, to a guy who could confront a crowd and say, "We're not drunk. You crucified the Savior of the world. You need to get right with him." Turned Philip into somebody whose name we barely notice in the Gospels, into somebody we all know for a conversion of an Ethiopian eunuch. How you talk about Jesus is going to matter, but how you live with Jesus matters more. Over this next 2 weeks, as we spend even more time with Jesus than normal, listen carefully to how you pray, to what you read in Scripture, and to what you hear us say about Jesus in our words and in our music, because they are setting the path we go down in faith. To God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen.